Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Job chapter 9, verses 25 and 26, we find an expression that Job uses, which is a common expression for us to use when we talk about the death of someone. Job said something about passing away. They are passed away, he said. Read this with me. Job chapter 9. Verses 25 and 26. The Bible says, "Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away, they see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey." Recently I had the opportunity to preach a funeral for one of the dear saints in our congregation who had lived on into her 80s. And cancer had taken its toll on her body, and finally, she passed away. Job talked about the time of death as passing away. And this is where the expression we use comes from. We said of this dear saint, she passed away. Now, we'll notice from the text that there were some things about her life that are true. The Bible says her life was swifter than a post. If you look here again in verse 25, "Now my days are swifter than a post." Of course, he's not talking about a post like a fence post or a telephone pole. He's talking about a post like orders that are given by a commander and then given to a post, to a rider, to carry out to other soldiers that are on a flank, perhaps, or perhaps in another area, or on another battlefield, or maybe to the headquarters. Now, that person has to be able to carry that post quickly. The Pony Express traveled very quickly with the mail. So today we call all that the post office, or the postal carrier. Her life was swifter than a post, just phew, gone like the Pony Express. The Bible talks about her life and says they are passed away as the swift ships. You know, when you watch tankers come in and out of our port here in Corpus Christi, they pass under the harbor bridge or turn and pass away out of the harbor bridge and then head on out the channel toward Port Aransas and on out into the Gulf. They seem to be going so slowly. You turn and you look at the ship. You know, there's a restaurant there. Hester's has a cafe right inside of the museum right there on the ship channel. You'll look and you'll see one of those ships and you'll say, "Wow, that thing is big. It doesn't even look like it's moving that much." You turn around, take another bite of your salad and look back and you're like, "Where'd that thing go?" And, I mean, obviously you watch it. It does seem to progress slowly. But the truth of the matter is, before you know it, it is over the horizon and you cannot see it. The Bible talks about life passing and talks about that being swift ships or as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. An eagle will soar there above the sky and just seem to be almost motionless, and then suddenly it will collapse and dive and come down upon its prey, gone with the prey, passed away. Swifter than a post, passed away. Swift as the ships, passed away. Swift as the eagle, passed away. Recently I heard a preacher preach, and he was recounting the 40 years of his ministry and reminded the congregation of starting in a small building with just a handful of people. And now in his church out in California, there are thousands of people. And he said it's just as if it happened overnight. He said, I still remember those days in that small building as they were yesterday, and I look at those folks that are there today and I think, how did all these people get here so suddenly? It just seems to have happened overnight, and yet it was 40 years ago. It all happens so very fast. And as a result, since life moves so quickly, it behooves us to consider some things. First of all, the passing away of a loved one is a grievous event for the family. It is a grievous event for the family. I have been with numerous people at the time of the death of their loved ones. Sometimes I've been in a hospital alone with the soon-to-be widow, watching as her husband draws his last breaths on this earth. I've been with family when somebody's at home, their loved one is at home, and a few family members are there. And I've been in the hospital when a person has reached the limit of their age, and they're there in the intensive care unit, and there are half a dozen family members around, and we're in and out, and waiting for the final breath. I've been with families when the news they received about the death of their child was sudden. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't make any difference if you've been expecting death for a long time. It doesn't make any difference if the person has been suffering with a debilitating illness. Doesn't make any difference if they were in the prime of life and suddenly they are swept away. The passing of a loved one is a grievous event for the family. It really is. It's just hard to let them go. I've watched them cry and sob and grab the casket and wish to die to be with their loved ones. I've seen others stoic and reserved and hardly shedding a tear, and yet both are expressing in their own way the grief of the loss of a family member. You read back in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 3, and you'll notice that the Egyptians mourned the death of Jacob for 70 days. Jacob had only been in the country for what, maybe 17 years? And yet when he died, they mourned for him 70 days. Now, I realize that some of that was cultural, some of that was customary, but may I tell you something? It emphasizes, for those of us who are close to the loved one we've lost, it emphasizes how the life of those who survive is in disarray. Sometimes grief is expressed with angry outbursts, sometimes with just unexpected tearful displays. You might be in the middle of a conversation with somebody talking about something totally unrelated to your loved one whose memory comes to mind. Could be in the middle of a store shopping, and suddenly that wave of grief comes over you, and out come the tears. It's just hard. Paul wrote to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 describing what would happen at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about the rapture here, and he says in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." What is he saying? Even those of us who have hope, and even those of us who know that our loved one was saved and that Jesus will soon come to remove those remains from the ground and will be united with the Lord, he says, I don't want you to sorrow, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope, but you're going to sorrow. You won't sorrow the same way they do because they don't have any hope, but you're going to sorrow. It's a grief. The passing away of a loved one is a grievous event for the family. And I can remember preaching the funeral and looking there at that dear family, and we'd been together through this illness, and there the day of her passing. And I saw the tears. I saw the reddened faces. I saw the sadness. It's a grief. It's a grief. And oh, how we desire to comfort each other at that time. But let me say something else. The passing away of a loved one is not only a grievous event for the family, but it's a joyous event for the saved. That's right. It is a joyous event for the saved. And the reason is, when we're saved, I'm saved. I know this to be true. When we're saved, we know that the moment we pass away, we are no longer going to be confined to this sinful, corruptible flesh, but we are going to be instantly with the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, the Bible says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle," talking about our bodies, "we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would not be, or that we'd be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident," watch it, "knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight." Now listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, listen to verse 8. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Do you understand? That as a saved person, what happens when we get saved, we are baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. The body of Christ is currently seated at the right hand of God in heaven next to his throne. And so when we die, when we're saved, we're connected to that body spiritually. But when we die, we instantly then leave this robe of flesh and we're there knowledgeably in reality forever in the presence of the Lord. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Now let me tell you something. As many good memories as you can recount in the life of your loved one who has been saved, no memory that your loved one ever had compares with the joy of leaving this life to be joined with the Lord. There's nothing like it. On the day of our salvation, the Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels of God. The Bible says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Jesus Christ said, "I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." There is joy in the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. There is certainly joy at the day of our salvation and joy as we live in our salvation. But no joy compares with the joy of being absent from this body and present with the Lord. The passing away of a loved one is a joyous event for the saved. I pray today that you're saved. Because one of these days, listen, you're going to face death. That's right. Unless the Lord comes and changes us before death, you are going to face death. And I just want you to know and your loved ones to know that if you're saved, that is going to be a joyous event for you. You had joy at your salvation, joy in your Christian life, joy at the day of your death. Let me say this then. The passing away of a loved one is a grievous event for the family indeed, but it is a joyous event for the saved. And then notice, it is a precious event for the Lord. In Psalm 116 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You think, wow, how could that possibly be? You know, you and I get so tied up in our bodies. We get so tied up with concerns of health and money and rest and exercise and recreation and nutrition and what God's doing in our bodies and all those other kinds of things that we fail sometimes to see that as far as God is concerned is a precious event when we die. We're thinking, man, we want God to be involved in keeping us alive, in keeping us healthy. Well, to him, it's okay when you die. It's precious, precious event. And you say, well, how could that be? Because, listen, this is why Jesus Christ, God's Son, died. Do you understand? He didn't abolish death in such a way as to keep us from dying because he died. He gave us life so that in dying we continue to live. He arose from the dead. Listen, listen to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came to this earth and lived as a man, he came for the express purpose of dying on the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins and mine. And that was not a precious event for the Lord. As a matter of fact, when Jesus Christ hung there on the cross with our sins, he up until that time had enjoyed perfect fellowship with his Father the entire time. I and my Father are one, he would say. He would say, I do always those things that please him. He tells us regarding salvation, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But I'm going to tell you something. On the day of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, when our sins were placed in his body, he said from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? That was the first time that in that body he had experienced broken fellowship with his Father. And it was horrible. You see, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it's not just a matter of dying to pay for our sins. He died, listen, he died in such a way that he was accused for doing the things that I did. That's right. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, that cussing you've done, the stealing you've done, the fornication, the impure thoughts, the lies that you've told, those times that you did not love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, you know what happened? God Almighty accused Jesus Christ as if he were the one that committed those sins you committed, and then he punished him for your sins, and then he put all those sins in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and killed him for you. Let me tell you something. That was a sad day for the Savior. That was a sad day for his Father. But then he was buried. For 3 nights and 3 days, his body was in the grave and his soul had descended into the lower parts of the earth. Then on that third day, he rose from the dead. And his body came up out of that grave, joined to his soul, Spirit of God in him. That was a beautiful day, the resurrection day. The day when we see that death couldn't hold our Savior and therefore death can't hold us when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I'm going to tell you, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was a precious day for the Lord. You know why your death is a precious event for the Lord? Because it's just like the death of his Son when you're saved. He sees you go down, but he knows just in a moment he's going to return, and your body's coming up out of the grave, and it'll be fashioned like unto his glorious body. You won't be in this vile body anymore. It's going to be changed. The Bible says we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And you're going to be incorruptible and you are going to be immortal. And the Lord says, in order for you to get there, you've got to go through death. And so for him, it's a precious event. You see, the passing away of a loved one is a grievous event for the family. You may be very sad at the recent passing of a family member. But it's a joyous event if your family member was saved. That person is it having such a good time in heaven now that he or she would never even consider for a second coming back in here into this earth and into his or her body to just simply give you comfort that what I'm telling you is true from the Scripture, because it's too good and it's a precious event for the Lord. But may I tell you something? That's not all. The passing away of a loved one is a grievous event for the family, joyous event for the saved, precious event for the Lord, but it is a tragic event for the lost. It is a tragic event for the lost. Look in Luke chapter 16. Some people tell you that of what I'm going to read you now is a parable. And the truth of the matter is, nothing could be further than the truth. This is not a parable. This really happened. There is a real man named Lazarus in this story. It's not the Lazarus that Jesus rose from the dead. It's a poor man. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 tells us about hell. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died. You know what? The rich man also died. And you know what? He was buried. Now watch what happens to the rich man in verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, if you're familiar with the passage, you know that I didn't tell you where Lazarus went. He went to Abraham's bosom, which is the place in the heart of the earth where all saved people went before Jesus Christ died on the cross. But look at this guy. We're concentrating on where he went. He went to hell, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He was tormented, and he was also separated from Abraham and Lazarus, so there was no way that either of them could come and comfort him in his torment. Now Lazarus is comforted, he says at the end of verse 25, and thou art tormented. What? He says in verse 24, I am tormented in this flame. Hell is real, and the fire is real, and it feels like a torment. And may I tell you something, it goes on forever. And people there aren't laughing and carrying on and having a big party. Verse 24 says that man was crying. He cried. As a matter of fact, he was so convinced and convicted of where he was, he got real concerned about his five brothers and wanted somebody to go and testify unto them that they would not come into the place of torment. Okay? I'm going to tell you something. That's where you're going if you don't have Jesus Christ. And that's where people without Christ go when they pass away. It's real. Let me tell you, there is not an atheist 1 second after death. There's no longer anyone who has any question about the reality of hell 1 second after he dies without Christ. The lost, when they die, go straight to hell, just as you and I who are saved will immediately be in the presence of the Lord upon our death. Likewise, souls without Christ immediately go to hell. Now, we do things to try to remove the appearance of the sting of death. We have flowers. We have a beautiful casket. The presentation of the deceased is special, you know, with the kind of the silk lining of the casket and there, you know, some good, beautiful clothes and all those other kind of things. Well-manicured cemetery when you finally get there. All these are designed to take away the appearance of the sting of death. But let me tell you something. Those cannot compensate for the fires of hell. Death is not a beautiful event for someone who dies without Christ. Now, our dear saint that was here in our church, her greatest desire in life was to see her family come to Christ. She requested more prayer for her family than she ever did for herself in her declining health. And the great tragedy would be that if those for whom she prayed, those for whom we prayed, were to come to the end of their lives and at the time of their passing, die without Christ. That would be a great tragedy. Why? Because she wants you, and the Lord Jesus Christ wants you, and God wants you to arrive in heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that there comes a time, long time from now, when God will have to wipe away all tears from our eyes. You know what those tears are going to be about? The lost loved ones that we've prayed for and witnessed to and that others have witnessed to that reject Jesus Christ and don't make it to heaven. There's no other comfort besides that gentle touch of our Savior's hand upon our eyes to wipe away those tears. Because you know why? You have your chance to receive Christ now. And when you reject him, you wind up in hell. It's the saddest thing. Here we are preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ on the radio. And you're wondering how in the world you turned in to this broadcast while you were driving down the road or working or doing whatever you were doing, how you ended up with this broadcast. I'm going to tell you what, it's not circumstantial. You're listening to this for a reason. God wants you to hear what I have to say. God wants you to hear what he wrote in the Bible. You do not have to wind up in hell when you die. Listen, He'll wipe away our tears. It's our great burden that you would get saved. When you get to heaven, to hell without Christ, there'll be nobody to wipe away your tears. And the question is, won't you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today? You must. You must. It will be a tragic event for you without Christ to die and go to hell and find out instantly when you arrive that what you just heard preached today was exactly what you needed to hear in order to stay out of there. You know what this man down here in Luke chapter 16 prayed? He said, I have five brethren. And he wanted somebody, Lazarus, to leave Abraham's bosom and testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I'm telling you, there's a man in hell right now who is grateful that I am telling you the truth about where you're going without Christ, because he's already down there and he doesn't want to see you there. You're going to show up in hell without Christ, and he's going to look over at you and say, did you hear that preacher preaching? Did you hear that preacher preaching about hell one day? And did you reject him? And he's going to look at you and say, what a fool. I told you, my story is recorded for you in the scripture, and you didn't believe that I was telling you the truth. And I was, and now look where you are. Let me tell you something. You do not want to wind up there. You don't. You want to go to heaven? Listen, the passing away of a saved person is a joyous event for you, but it's going to be a tragic event if you don't get saved. You say, well, I don't know if I want to get saved or not. I've seen too many hypocrites in the church. May I tell you something? Please do not judge the grace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ by those of us you consider to be hypocrites. Please don't do that. He was not a hypocrite. Pilate judged him, and he said, I find no fault in this man at all. He was perfect, and I am here to tell you, having eternal life in me now, the life that I'm now living in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God is so many times better than the life that I lived as a lost person that they are beyond comparison. Please listen to me. One day you'll pass away. Please receive Christ so you don't pass away without him. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.